This is Mick Warhurst on ABC Radio.
When journalist David Laser wrote an article about the Me Too movement for the Good Weekend magazine last year, I think we can safely say things didn't quite go as he'd planned. Online, a pile-on ensued. Even his daughter at the time implored him not to put himself, a self-confessed middle-class, middle-aged white guy, at the centre of the story and to just listen to the women at the time when they were roaring about their experiences. And from this experience, he's now written a book called Women, Men and the Whole Damn Thing. He joins us now with the inspiration behind the book, his daughter Hannah. Hello to you both.
Hi, Miff.
Why did you want to write about the Me Too movement, David? And what was the response?
Well, I've been a journalist for 40 years, and when the Me Too movement erupted in late 2017 with the outing of Harvey Weinstein, and then the kind of global eruption of rage and distress from women around the world, that was one of the biggest stories of my lifetime. And I wanted to understand it. And I wanted to see where this was coming from. And so that as a journalist, as a father, as a brother, as a son, as a friend to women, colleagues, as a colleague to women, I wanted to see where this was all coming from. And when I wrote the story, the response was unlike any response I've ever had to a story over 40 years. And it was, in the main, it was very, very positive from women and men, and many of them encouraged me to expand on that article and turn it into a book.
But many women weren't keen on you stepping in and being the authoritative voice on a topic that I think women felt like it was their turn to express. Would that be right?
Well, certainly some women thought and may still think that I shouldn't weigh in on this subject. It's not the authoritative voice. I'm not trying to be the authoritative voice. But let's take a step back. 1 billion women on the planet will be sexually abused or assaulted in their lifetime. 1.2 million women in Australia from the time they're 15 will be sexually abused or assaulted or raped. That is happening because of men. Men are perpetrating the violence. And as a man, I wanted to understand that and see where that was coming from, because this is a call out to men to change their behaviour.
Yeah, yeah. Hannah, I'll bring you in now. Tell me what you said to your dad when he had this idea.
Oh, a lot of things.
Yeah.
I think initially, before the story and kind of in the eruption of the Me Too, I, like many women, I think, didn't want to hear from a man and didn't want the way in of their views. So I think that was my initial backlash to Dad. But I think that the other thing that I said was that you don't truly get it. And I think you think that you know, you think that you understand, but I don't really think you do. And a lot of that came from Dad's relationship with my mum, and he talks about that in the book. And so I think a lot of that, for me, I couldn't allow, I don't know if that's the right word, but I felt it necessary for Dad to really self-interrogate his own role in this all before writing the story. Or in order to write the story, I didn't think he could without doing that self-interrogation. And yes, I said this in the book. I said, shut up, just shut up and listen. And I think I feel really proud of the listening that he's done. I think my other fear of not wanting him to do it as well was being scared of a backlash. And at the end of the day, he's my dad. And so, yeah. You know, I know what Twitter and social media can be like, and that was a scary prospect.
David, what did you think when Hannah said those things to you? Did it change the way you ultimately approached the book?
Hannah's role in the article and the book was and is pivotal. She's the most important ally and challenger and interlocutor and mirror that I've had through the whole process. And as she mentions, her mother's and my relationship, our marriage of 23 years. And so here's the thing. I thought I was a progressive male.
Yeah.
I had written about feminists and women. I'd written for Good Weekend for many years. I'd profiled women. I'd written for brilliant feminist editors. I thought I was awake. I thought I knew this territory. And what Hannah was telling me in the wake of the Me Too movement was, actually, Dad, you don't understand. And what it compelled me to do was to re-examine, and it wasn't like this was an examination for the first time, but to really re-examine what it was in the marriage that had caused the marriage to fail. And the truth of it was that I was, you know, the more your privilege is, the less you can see it often. Mm. And at the end of the day, we were both careerists, but my job was more important. My needs were more important. My projects were more important. And when I really drilled down into that, I was drilling down into the assumptions and the prerogatives and the entitlements of men. And not all men, and that, you know, does that need to be said? But maybe it does. So, but I came to understand how I fitted in to the larger picture.
I'm talking to David Laser, author of a new book, Women, Men and the Whole Damn Thing, and the inspiration behind the book, David's daughter, Hannah, who is also a photographer in her own right. Hannah, how does it feel to hear that your dad has evolved in such a way that he is speaking like this? He's obviously had such a period of self-reflection. It's had a huge impact on him.
Mm. Oh, I mean, like I said, I feel really proud. I feel really lucky. And I think especially the chapter about my mum was something, you know, I wept when I read it.
Mm.
And I felt like he was saying what Mum had wanted him to say for a long time, or recognise or realise. I feel really proud of him, and I think that he's done so much self interrogation and reflection, and I think that that's what this is kind of asking for, ultimately, among many other things, but for men to reflect on how these systems of patriarchy and misogyny have kind of reigned across societies and cultures everywhere, or in many places, and how they might have been, you know, accustomed to that, or what their role might be in that. And I think that is what Dad has done quite powerfully.
And if I could just add there, Miff, you know, just to get back to one of your first questions, if not your first question, which is about what women would say about a man writing about this. You know, this is not me telling women what to think or feel. And that could be construed from the fact that a man has weighed into this whole discussion around the Me Too movement, that this is a women's movement born of women's pain and distress over centuries. So just leave it alone. But that's not where the conversation ends. That's just the beginning of the conversation. The conversation has to go to what has made men do this to women and to themselves and to other men. What causes this violence? And so I think that's crucial to this. It's not, I would like, I'm trying to get men, I want men to be the predominantly the readers of this book, because I'm calling for a whole ruthless interrogation of the models of manhood that we've been given that causes so much damage to ourselves and therefore to those that we're in relationship to or, you know, previous relationship to.
Yeah, well, David, I wanted to get to that. Part of the book examines what's wrong with men and boys, according to you or from your research, and what's led us to this moment. Can you explain some of those ideas that you've thrown around in the book?
Yeah, I think that I have a view about, and it's not a unique view, and I'm not Robinson Crusoe here, but we're all made up of masculine and feminine qualities, every one of us. Every child who comes into the world has both the capacity for more archetypal masculine things, rational thinking and left brain thinking, and feminine, more intuitive thinking. And so we're made up of a mix of both the masculine and the feminine. And what happens to boys from a very early age is that those natural emotions which are available to everyone, to every child, delicious, sweet, tender child, what happens from a very early age with boys often and in many cultures is that vulnerability and insecurity and fear and all of those emotions are shamed. They are repressed and often they are removed. And that's because we live in with these models of manhood that you have to be tough, that you have to suck it up, that you have to conquer or be in control or not show your vulnerability. So if that's what you're taught as a boy when you're early, and then, of course, as you grow into a teenage culture, you are shamed for that or bullied for that. Heaven forbid that you might like a girl or show your emotions or be seen to be, you're a Nancy boy, you're a sissy. You're this stuff we all know. We know this language. We've seen this landscape forever. And so that causes great damage to boys and men. And that ends up causing great damage to women and to children. And this is a patriarchal system. This is a multi-headed beast which operates on a number of levels in the workplace, in the boardroom, in the bedroom, in the cotton fields. I mean, across the board. And it's an internalizing and externalizing of patriarchal thinking. And it's a shaming of the feminine. And that ends up becoming what you do internally, you can then do externally to women. And so I think one of the first acts of violence of the patriarchy is what it does to the feminine inside the masculine, inside the male.
Just to be devil's advocate, though, but explaining all this, does that excuse the men's behaviour towards women?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But this is why this subject is so difficult.
And it's so complicated and complex and layered, isn't it?
That's right. And so for me to say that is not to excuse the violence, the mutilation, the maiming, the silencing, the degrading of women across the planet in no way, shape or form. But it is to try and understand from where it comes.
Because I think to understand it is then to try and change it. I think that if we continue to just see it as violence and men are violent or men are, you know, perpetrators and all of these kind of things and not go to the root cause, I think that we're not going to get very far.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's interesting just in terms of we're seeing this just outpouring of sexual predation of high-profile and not-so-high-profile people across the globe. But let's think about it. If you are told that growing up as a boy that certain feelings are not appropriate to have, then when you enter into relationship and you have those feelings, what's that going to do, particularly sexually? If the only keyhole that you can express your emotions is through sex or anger, you are creating a fertile ground for violence and for self-violence as well.
How do you see the way forward, David and Hannah, in terms of books such as this? Who do you want to read these books? Where do we move forward with this issue? How do we change so many structural things that are set in place and have been set in place for centuries?
Who would you like to answer that first? Hannah, go on.
Go, Hannah. Good luck.
Okay, thanks. I mean, it's so hard, but you have to start somewhere. And I don't think the book is a be end and end all. I think it's an opening of a conversation, a much needed conversation, I think, for men and boys. I think education, and Dad and I have talked about this a lot in terms of what's taught in schools, and not just high school or primary school, but when kids are really young, and we've talked about from being the age of three, and teaching respect and empathy and what, you know, what that can do and throughout your life as you grow. So I think a lot of it starts from conversations. I think a lot for boys and men to start conversing with each other, to keep listening, keep trying to understand, keep self-reflecting, and actually help in this kind of huge movement to change this kind of toxic culture.
Well, I can't really add much to that. But I will add this, that we need each other. Men and women need each other, and more than ever. And that this can be a hugely exciting moment for men. I mean, women have been thinking about this stuff forever.
Well, that's the thing, we know.
You know, but we don't. Men don't. So this is an incredible opportunity for men to wake up. Mm. And I don't want to sound self-righteous, like I've got the answers. This is one. I'm just one man having a stab at this enormously complex subject at a moment in time, and there will be many, many, many contributions to this subject. But I do think this is an exciting opportunity for men to awaken to a new way of being men, so that we are doing less damage to women, to other men, to children, to the planet. I think this, and I think for men to be able to open up, as Hannah says, to each other and talk about the matters of the heart in ways that are not nearly as familiar to them as it is with girls growing up. I think, and as Hannah says, self-regulation and empathy and conflict resolution being taught from the earliest age.
Can I add one more thing?
Go ahead, Hannah.
In terms of how we move forward and change, I think empathy and respect are crucial, and I think that in particularly in sexual relationships and intimacy, and how we're taught, or all we seem to have is porn, and what that does, I think, for what you think is okay or what you think you can get away with. I think has a big, big part, and I think there's so many cases of people communication in these intimate relationships, and learning to ask questions and not be scared about that or embarrassed. Asking, is this okay? You know, these small things that I think can go hopefully a long way.
Yeah. Well, look, thank you both for your thoughts today, and congratulations on having a stab at this, David Laser. It's most appreciated from our side of the fence, that's for sure. And also Hannah for being such an inspiration for
thank
the
you.
Book. It sounds like the both of you have learned an awful lot from this experience.
Thank you, Miff.
Wonderful.
Thanks so much.
Miff Warhurst. Weekdays on ABC Radio, online and on the ABC Listen app.